Are you ready to experience the rich interconnection of spirituality, orientation, and identity? If so, plan to attend Liberating Your Divine Identity, a retreat at Unity Village during Pride Month, June 9th to the 12th. This soul-filled retreat is facilitated by LGBTQIA+ Unity Ministers, with workshops and ceremonies to cultivate a deeper awareness of our spiritual nature. Register at unityvillage.org/IAmDivine2022.
Unity Online Radio, the voice of an awakening world. Welcome to World Spirituality, exploring the unity within all cultures and faith traditions with Paul John Roach, minister of Unity Church of Fort Worth in Fort Worth, Texas. Discover the universal principles present in all the world's religions and take an incredible journey to new understanding. Now, here is your host, Paul John Roach.
So, hello and welcome to World Spirituality on the Unity Online Radio Network. Yes, I'm your host, Paul John Roach, coming to you from Unity Fort Worth in Fort Worth, Texas. Joining me today is Jim Larson. He heard the call of Tarot in 2004, and his life changed completely as a result. We'll find out more about that. He traveled to the Big Island of Hawaii, and from there, all around the world, looking for wisdom. And what resulted was four volumes of Knowings from the Silence, which he wrote, Simple Wisdom for an Enlightened Life, and also two books on Tarot, the Double O Fool's Guide to Tarot Mastery, and What's Tarot Got to Do with It? As well as writing Jim and Joyce Meditation, Teaching English as a Foreign Language, Performing Reiki studies, hiking, and other interests, including Diksha, or the Oneness Blessing. So it's a pleasure to welcome Jim Larson to today's show. Welcome, Jim.
Thank you, Paul. I'm very happy to be here today.
So what happened in 2004? Tell us.
Oh, 2004. That was a big, big year. It was an accumulation of things, actually. I would say the last couple of years, starting maybe 2002, 2003, my life was just really undergoing some major changes. I'd been through just some traumatic stuff, divorce, you know, nothing huge, but, you know, just enough to kind of kick me a little and get me going. So I started, it was during some, you know, some depressed times in my life. I started to just hear these voices in my head as I'm drifting off to sleep, as I'm just sitting still. I just start hearing my name called, Jim, as if it was from, like, very, very far away. And I really didn't understand what that was about at the time, but it never occurred to me that I was crazy. I never went there. I never assumed something was amiss. I assumed there was something going on here. Something new was starting. So from there, I started hearing these voices. And sometimes at night I'd be sleeping, and all of a sudden there's just this loud bell going off in my head, like a school bell. Like somebody somewhere is really trying to get my attention. So I'm like jolted awake. And sometimes I would, same thing would happen, but it'd be like a song I'd been listening to. I started really enjoying Lonnie Donegan, the skiffle player from way back when. I got his greatest hits on CD. And all of a sudden, just in the middle of the night, 2 o'clock in the morning, it's like somebody hit play on a radio next to my head, and I'm just jolted awake by this song by him. I'm like, okay, something big is happening here.
Wow.
So this went on for a couple of years. Then finally, I was a government contractor at the time, working in the Washington, D.C. area. And I'm sitting at my desk at a corporate office in Springfield, Virginia, and all of a sudden, just out of nowhere, just completely out of nowhere, I hear this voice speaking to me. It was as loud as you are to me on the phone right now. It just said, Jim, study Tarot. I was like, whoa, what was that? So I decided to take a break, walk next door to the Barnes & Noble that was next door to our office, And I bought my first tarot card deck. I had no idea what tarot was. I mean, I'd heard of it, but to me it was just something people dressed up funny and did at Renaissance fairs, that sort of thing. So I get that deck. I'm looking at it. I have no idea what all these images are. So I go online, and I find a tarot card workshop happening in the area that weekend coming up. It's like, this is big. I need to do this. So I went, I did that tarot card workshop, and I talked to a lady there. This was not a part of the workshop. She just somebody who wanted to talk to me about spirit guides, which was a very foreign concept to me at the time. I had no idea what a spirit guide was, but the thing she told me about how these beings, these spiritual beings, are just nudging us in a direction of where we need to go, that really, really hit home with me. So I read some books on the subject, and I realized this is what's going on in my life. This is where the voices are coming from. So I really need to pay attention to these voices. And while I'm at this tarot card workshop, the lady giving it promotes another workshop that's happening in the area by James Wanless, who's a very big name in the tarot card industry. And he was putting on a workshop of his own in the coming week, so of course I wanted to take that. And while I took his workshop, he mentioned this thing he does in Hawaii every year, at a place called Kalani Oceanside Retreat, which is where I live today. But he's telling us, come to Hawaii, we'll study tarot cards for a week, and you'll love it. So a year later, I finally did that, and I came to this place, I'm on the big island, and I just totally fall in love with it. I feel so connected. Everything just feels right here. I feel like this is where the voices were bringing me so I could discover all these other things about myself.
Mm. Wow.
So here I still am. So
fascinating. Yeah. I want to talk about two things in relation to that. First of all, it is interesting, isn't it, that spiritual openings often come, you know, in transition times or in traumas. You know, some people have diseases or illness and wake up and renewed. You know, many gurus have that. They're almost a near-death experience. And some people are going through, you know, sadness in their lives where they're broken open. I guess that's the key, isn't it? There's a shift between what we've accepted as regular reality and then something larger, you know, and that trauma, that illness or that sadness can, it doesn't happen in every case, but it can be a catalyst to shift us into a larger view of who we are. So obviously that was part of what happened for you. So Tarot, for those people who aren't familiar with it, it's an ancient system, isn't it? Using, 78 cards? It's a little bit like our current deck of cards, but a more expanded version in that it has four suits, right? But it also has a 22-card template of spiritual unfoldment added to it as well.
That's correct. That's the major arcana and the minor arcana.
Right.
Being the more spiritual side of life, I think of that as our karmic journey, what we're on the earth to achieve, while the minor arcana is more what our earthly path is like. What does it mean to be present on earth?
And they're based on the four elements, right, often of earth, water, air, and fire, yeah?
That's correct, yes.
So each suit has a correspondence to that, and so it's very similar to the regular deck, isn't it? They share the same. We've got hearts for cups, I guess, and we've got clubs for wands, and we've got diamonds for pentacles or coins.
That's right.
And then we have what did I miss?
What did you mean?
Oh, swords, yeah, which would be spades, I guess, right?
That is correct.
Right. So you can read the tarot cards on a regular deck, can't you, if you're attuned to it, if you understand numerology and the significance of each card. But, of course, you don't get the greater arcana. Yeah.
Right. Yeah, I've heard of that. I know there's books on it. I haven't really delved into that part of it yet. But I'm fascinated that it's available.
Now, for those people that say, this sounds kind of new agey, mumbo jumbo kind of stuff. How would you respond to that?
I would say be open to it. It is new agey, but it's also ancient agey. It's just been around a very long time, and you get out of it what you expect to get out of it. If you're open to the idea that these cards can tell you about who you are inside, and I like to think that every card is just a piece of our soul, and once we understand that piece, then we're that much stronger. So I encourage people to be open to that. If it's all about fortune telling to you, I would be a little skeptical about fortune telling. I'm not quite into that aspect of it. I respect people who can hear the voices through the cards, but for me, it's more about understanding who we are inside and what.
Right. It's more looking at the archetypes, isn't it, of our own personality or our own spiritual awareness? Because it's all levels here in the tarot. I received my first tarot deck when I was 17. Some friends of mine bought one for my birthday, and I've been fascinated by it ever since. I have quite a collection of tarot decks. And, of course, there are hundreds of thousands of them, aren't there? Well, maybe not hundreds of thousands, but there's certainly thousands of them.
Oh, there are, yes.
Do you have a favorite?
I'm partial to the classic Rider-Waite deck. I also really like the Voyager Tarot that I mentioned from James Wanless earlier.
Right.
I bought a deck in China that I really like. I don't know the name of it, but I really enjoy reading with that. So, yeah, there's tarot all over the world.
Right, and there's some amazing artists who've contributed to Tarot deck. You know, there's one called the Shadowscapes Tarot that's has wonderful art in it. And my favorite, I think, is the Wildwood deck, which is, you know, a more sort of Celtic and nature mysticism, you know, linking to a little bit pagan, I guess, but linking to the earth. And I like decks that are, you know, attached to the earth. There's another one called the Druidcraft that's got a lot of earth images. But all kinds of stuff, I think. There's many different ways that the tarot has been interpreted in recent years. How did it originate?
How did it originate? I believe it was to hide secret knowledge. These people were fearful of persecution, so they hid the knowledge in these cards, so it looks like they're playing a game, when in reality they were finding wisdom.
Right. So they've been around for several hundred years, and of course the wisdom within them is timeless, isn't it? It's a mystical tradition, really, that that unfolds it through the cards, and it starts at zero. And of course, you make reference to that in some of your books, don't you? The fact that the fool is empty, it's open to everything, and that's the zero card.
Right. The fool is, like you say, open to anything. A fool just realizes, like I was a fool when I started hearing voices in my head. I knew it was time to move on, do something new, even though it really made no logical sense that I was going through this. But I knew it was important. So, yeah, I was a fool then, and I was open to the idea of traveling. I was open to the idea, once I got to Hawaii, I was open to the fact that this is really where I need to be. Even though my life was back home in Virginia, had a job, had a house, but I just knew if I really want to evolve into what it is I'm meant to be on this earth, I'm going to have to give that up and come here, even if nobody else really understood that.
Right.
And it's been fantastic. I was dead right about it all. So I'm very, very happy I listened to those voices.
So you found personal fulfillment in shifting your life in that direction?
That's right.
And you would encourage others to do so, would you?
I would, actually. If it feels right, it's beneficial.
I think many of us are sort of stuck where we are because it's familiar, and we feel like we have limited resources, maybe. We can't dream. Or it's nice to dream, but we can't fulfill the dream, you know, that it's a little scary. What happens if I, you know, run out of money, or it doesn't work out the way I want? And, of course, that's almost a wish-fulfilling prophecy, isn't it? If you say to yourself, it's not going to work out, or I fear that it's not going to work out, then you've more or less set up the fact that it's not going to work out, right?
That's right. You've pre-created that reality. But if you tell yourself, somehow, some way, the elements are just going to come together. I know they will. And then just let your mind get out of the way and let that happen.
Right. So if you were, I know you said it's not necessarily a divination or fortune-telling tool. It's more a way of looking at our own psyches, our own being, if you like. But, you know, if people are approaching the tarot, what would you tell them? You know, how can they more effectively come to it?
I would say that try to understand what these cards are saying to you personally. I mean, there's so many books, so many little booklets that interpret the cards for you, but if you... Yeah, read those to get a basic understanding, sort of a jumping-off point for your own intuition about it. I think you'll get a lot more out of it instead of just memorizing what somebody else has said.
Yes.
To look at a card and say, okay, how do I embody this? How do I embody the Knight of Cups? What is that about me? Or how should I try to embody that? Because it really comes down to what you're asking. If you're asking... What should I embody? What energy should I try to put into myself today? And then you draw a card, and you get the Moon card. You might say to yourself, well, I need to just not make any big decisions today. Let more clarity come before I sign any contracts or buy a car, whatever the case may be. So I'm all for personal meanings for the cards.
Yes, I think that's good advice. And, you know, if you go to the Rider-Waite deck or whatever, they have pictorial images on there that kind of clue you in to what the card's about, right? And you sort of catch on fairly soon by the imagery what that card means, at least in a general sense. And then you can take it from there. Because I'm a big believer that, you know, the connection of the cards together, the combination of cards in a deck, can influence the meaning of the card, right? It may have a particular meaning alone, but when it's in relation to others, then you can weave a whole story around it that might be a little different from its classic interpretation.
Exactly. That's why you got to be open to your own intuition,
right.
Not what the book tells you.
Right, yeah. So we start with the Fool. And then we progress to an understanding of embracing the whole world, don't we? That's the last card in the major arcana. What is the journey between the Fool and then embracing the whole of being?
Okay, I think what we do, we go through these different archetypes, and we just do our best to absorb that energy and find where that is inside of us. Maybe some are stronger than others. Maybe the magician, you might be a very adept at creating on the earth, bringing down from the heaven to the earth. So that's the magician. And then we go through trials and tribulations. I really like the Tower card, for example. That's kind of a scary card. I know people look at it and they see death and destruction and fire and people falling to their death, but I think that is one of the most pivotal cards on our journey. Because once we get to the Tower, that's when we realize our life to this point hasn't been what we thought it was. We get these ideas, we're born, we're enculturated, we get these ideas about what life is supposed to be, get a job, get married, whatever it means in your society. But then you realize, there's more to my life. Then you realize, well, there's this spiritual aspect. I'm on this earth to evolve into this spiritual aspect of myself, but how you've lived your life so far just has not supported that. So now everything has to just fall away, so what is important will remain. So maybe you have to go through a divorce. Maybe you have to be sick just so you can have this rebirth. And as you rebuild, you just leave behind the pieces that don't fit anymore. Just stick with what is working for you, what actually
right.
Is something to your spiritual development.
And I think that's hugely important, isn't it, in interpreting this, you know, using this tool. is that, you know, some people find the death card and they get all upset, you know, oh my God, am I going to die? but really it's about transformation, isn't it? When you have a certain amount of sense of dissolution of death, and that's room for, like we like to say on the show, you know, St. Paul said, I die daily. Well, he didn't mean it literally. He was talking figuratively about opening again to the newness of life. And so when death comes, that's usually what it represents. It's various aspects of our own consciousness rather than literal things out there in the world. Though it can be out there sometimes, but I think it's more valuable to see it as tendencies within one's own life's unfoldment.
Yeah, that's right. I mean, how can we ever be reborn if we never let ourselves die? So sometimes we just got to let it happen so we can become this new being that we're meant to be.
Do you ever read the cards and think, no, that's not for me?
Sometimes, yeah. I guess we do that when we don't really want to face the answer that the card has given us.
Okay,
We have an idea what we want our day or, you know, the next week or month to be, so we draw a card to see what that is, and we get something we don't like.
Right.
We're really hoping for a happy card, but we just got to put our ego out of the way and say, okay, that's what it's going to be. I'm ready for it.
Right. I think sometimes, too, if we're not, you know, paying attention, if we're not allowing the cards to come to us in the right way, if we're trying to force it or something, we'll pull out a card that really doesn't fit for us, you know. And I think it's okay sometimes to say, you know, well, I'll try it again. I'll get more centered and pull out some more cards. And maybe that's okay. Though, you know, I think if you do that too much, then sort of the humanness of us is trying to, like you say, control the outcome instead of rolling with what's showing up.
That's right.
Have you noticed also that sometimes, you know, you'll get the same card come up?
Oh, yeah.
Maybe. Yeah, then you think, wait a minute, how did that happen? It's like the universe is telling you, you know, you can hide, but you can run, but you can't hide, kind of thing.
That's true. That's when you got to realize there's a very strong message that it's really time to pay attention to.
Right. Yeah. Fascinating stuff. All right. I'm with Jim Larson. We're talking about his studies with the Tarot deck. We're also going to talk about his four-volume series on Knowings from the Silence, which is a very unity idea from our perspective. We understand what he's talking about there. We'll talk some more after these messages from Unity. So let's listen for a couple of minutes, and we'll be back after that.
As Unity Online Radio continues to expand its programming and outreach to the world, we count on the support of listeners like you. Please make your donation today. Go to www.unity.fm and click on Donate Now.
Available, YouPray, the free prayer app from Silent Unity. For more than a century, people from all over the world and all walks of life have turned to Silent Unity. With YouPray, our confidential prayer support is easy and convenient to access. With YouPray, you can send your prayer directly to Silent Unity. YouPray also includes affirmations you can share with family and friends, plus audio meditations for your prayer time. For more about the free YouPray app and links to download, visit silentunity.org/app. That's silentunity.org/app.
The world is full of voices, advertising, television,
politics, colleagues, family, and friends. All are too happy to tell us how to live. In all of that noise, it's easy to miss the one voice that matters, your own soul. What would happen if you could hear that voice? Imagine the clarity, confidence, and courage that would be yours and the life you could create. Join Janet Connor, best-selling author of Writing Down Your Soul, The Lotus and the Lily, and Your Soul Wants Five Things, as she and her guests explore how to hear the call of the soul and create the soul-directed life. Live Thursday at 1 p.m. Central, only on Unity Online Radio, the voice of an awakening world.
Go inside to find my God.
You've been listening to World Spirituality with host Reverend Paul John Roach. To learn more about Reverend Paul John Roach, visit his website, pauljohnroach.com. Or, if you have questions, email him at pauljohnroach@yahoo.com. We now return to World Spirituality.
All right, welcome back to the show. Hey, by the way, folks, the show I did recently with my wife, Wendy, didn't get put up on the network initially, but now it's up. And I've just put a link on my website and also Facebook. We talked about the nature of paradox, how to live with paradox in our lives, in terms of our spiritual life, but also how do we blend our awareness of politics and social action with living effectively without getting freaked out by things. Because some people just throwing up their heads, their arms and hands lately, saying we're going to hell in a handbasket, but I think we've always been doing that, actually. I think it's always been a little crazy. But anyway, check that out. I'm with Jim Larson, and we're talking about his work, both in Tarot and his studies on the subject of moving into the silence of knowing and of enlightenment. And Charles Fillmore, co-founder of Unity, said, a favorite quote of mine, he says, you can know by simply holding the thought that you know. In other words, you don't have to know intellectually. You can know at a very deep level because we have the wisdom of the universe within us. Do you agree with that, Jim?
Oh, yes, 100%. That is a good way to put it all, yes.
Because, we are integral parts of this whole, aren't we? So we don't have to know everything, quote. You know, I think Socrates said, that he knew nothing, and hence he was the wisest man in Athens, because he admitted that he knew nothing. Those that think they know something have limited themselves to that knowledge, and so knowing nothing is actually knowing everything, because you're open to the flow of wisdom. So let's talk about that in relation to enlightenment and whatever that is. When I was first on the path 40 years ago, there was this idea that one day you would become, quote, enlightened, whatever that was. And it was almost like a state of being, you'd admire these people, these so-called enlightened beings. Now I hold a different view. I won't really tell you what it is, but I don't want to prejudge what you might want to say. But enlightenment is a very tricky thing, isn't it? Because we have a lot of concepts about what it is. Tell us about your view on that.
My view is enlightenment, that to me is a noun. It's something you reach. It just sounds like it's this ultimate destination that we're all trying for. But like you're saying, what is it exactly? How do you know? How did you wake up in the morning and say, oh, I'm enlightened. Look at me. I'm so great. It's more, I think people put too much thought and effort into that whole concept. I don't think it's important to reach this state of enlightenment, because how do you even know? It's something that takes lifetime after lifetime to achieve. So how can your limited mind actually know where we are on this journey? All we got is how we feel right now and today. So if you're feeling good today, you're on the path. I think our emotions guide us. If we feel good about what we're doing, if it brings us joy, if it brings us bliss, we're on the road to it. But this is different to me than living an enlightened life. To me, to live an enlightened life is just to, like I was saying, follow your bliss. Do what feels good to you. When you're doing what feels good to you, you're doing good and inspiration to others. I think that's
right.
I think also to live an enlightened life is not to overreact to every feeling you have. I think once we get in touch with ourselves and understand what triggers us and what our emotions are telling us, then we really move into an enlightened state. Because I think once we master our emotions, this is what it means to be enlightened, to live an enlightened life.
Right. The old image is that, we're like fish in the water, right? And not realizing that we are in the water and searching for the water. You know, where is it? I wish I could find it. Whereas we're totally immersed in it at all times. So I think it's the same with enlightenment. Enlightenment is waking up to the fact that you're already here. You know, it's already established. But the humanness wants to push it off till the future somehow, until I'm done all the right things, understand everything, and et cetera, et cetera, instead of just relaxing into what is and realizing that it's like you say, it's now, isn't it? It's there is no other time. So I think a Zen master said, one moment of delusion, and everything's separate. One moment of awakening and everything is one. So it's a moment by moment awareness.
Yeah, I like that. It's like just be a twig that floats in the river. See where the river is taking you. See where it washes up on shore. See if you can put down roots where you land. Just go with the flow. Sometimes that's all you can do. And if you can do that without ego telling you, oh, you should be over there instead of over here, then you're doing good. You got it made.
We really have a hard time with this one, don't we? This idea of allowing things to be what they are, because we're conditioned to say, "Oh no, I got to change it, I got to make it better, I've got to squeeze meaning out of it." It seems too passive to us to sort of go with the flow, just to relax and let go. Oh my goodness, what's going to happen then if I let go? But we have to ask ourselves, I guess, who is saying this, who is trying to control everything? Who is afraid of letting go? And usually the answer would be our humanness, right? Our construct around who we are, that we want to maintain this identity. So who, that's my next question for you then, Jim, is who are you without your identity?
Oh, good question. Who am I without my identity? I'm just a random spirit, just trying to make his way on the earth, I guess.
And have you discovered that?
Yeah, I have, actually. It's like I was saying before about the tower card, how we just got to let things crash around us sometimes so we can rebuild and be stronger with who we're actually supposed to be as opposed to who we think we should be. So, yeah, when I came to Hawaii, that was kind of a crashing for me. I let go of my old life. I came here just to see what happens. And I started hearing even more voices. I started really getting inspired to write in ways I'd never written before. And in the past, I was all into writing screenplays, thinking I was going to be this big screenplay guy. But when I came here, I just started getting these impulses. That's when I really discovered the silence. I realize I'm just sort of drifting into this other realm, and all these things are coming to me. So I'm just a guy who drifts into other realms and reports what he sees.
Fascinating. I've found that this idea that identity, when we release the need for being having a certain identity in our ego form or whatever, then you can have it. Does that make sense? When you let it go, you can have it. It's like you're still you, you still got your little juicy bits, your particular personality traits, but they're no longer, you're no longer confined to them, right? That's just how you're expressing this lifetime, and that's okay, but you're no longer so identified with them that they have to be a certain construct. So it's almost as if you could be nothing and everything at the same time, it's not a problem anymore.
Right. Yeah, just getting out of your head, saying, whatever I am, that's what I'll be. Just point me in the right direction. Instead of being, oh, I must do this, I must do that. Just let it happen.
There's a famous statement from Zen Buddhism that was also used by Donovan. You mentioned Marnie Donegan, and Donovan was another late 60s, a little bit later than Lonnie. But, you know, he quoted it in one of his songs, and it's, first there is a mountain, then there is no mountain, then there is. You know, first there's the mountain, then the mountain seems to disappear, and then all of a sudden there's the mountain again. Do you understand what that's saying in terms of spiritual life and your own unfoldment?
It sounds to me like we're on our path here, and things that are important to us appear, but then once they're not so important anymore, something else is taking precedence, then it sort of disappears again. Until we meet it again, then there it is again.
And then oftentimes when we meet it again, it's not quite the same, is it? You know, first of all, we take reality as whatever we perceive it to be by our senses. Then we understand there's a spiritual dimension and, you know, whoops, everything's disappeared. But then the mountain comes back because we say, oh, yeah, well, it's still the mountain, but it's not quite the same as I perceived it before. You know, I don't take it as ultimate reality anymore. It's conditional. It's subject to time and change, you know, in a way that allows me to just enjoy it. Like you said, without expectations, and it's not quite the same. You know, there's a difference between the first mountain and the second one, because you've experienced what it means to be beyond the mountain, if you like, using that metaphor.
Yeah, I like that. It's kind of like we have expectations, we're approaching a mountain and we're excited, maybe this is brand new to us. So we experience it, and we have that experience, and then the next mountain's coming, and we're expecting that to repeat that old experience.
Interesting.
We've already had that, so why are we? No reason to have it again. So now we're going to have a new experience.
Oh, that's a nice interpretation too. Yeah, very good. And you know, we often turn our minds and eyes off, don't we, when we've had an experience, and then that we want to replicate it. We want the same experience we've had before. I think this is why relationships go south sometimes, is because we're trying to repeat something over and over again with our partner instead of being, you know, open to something new coming along. And when it doesn't come along for us in the way we want, you know, we think, oh, you're not the same as you used to be. You've changed, you know, But really, it's us. We have this expectation of something that doesn't allow us to be in this present moment.
Yes, I agree with that completely. We've had so many expectations. We don't like change, but we just need to be open to the idea that things are going to change and get into the flow of that.
Yes. So you've written four books, right? On these subjects, called Knowings from the Silence, and you call them simple wisdom. Why simple wisdom?
Because that's, to me, that's what they are. They're just simple little tidbits that if you read them and you soak them in, they'll help you with your life. They're not meant to be complicated. You don't need to go sit on a mountain and contemplate it. Just read it and go, oh yeah, that's right, I like that.
I noticed this.
I can do to incorporate that.
I noticed there's some themes that repeat. It's almost like cyclic patterns throughout the books. Certain topics that are very important to you, and I've noticed a few. Maybe there's more in there you'd like to talk about. I know you talk a lot about humor and laughter being important.
Humor, yes. I think, yeah, laughing is very important. When we laugh, we're not taking things too seriously. We can see just different angles on things. It's so easy to just look at the world and say, oh, it's so many terrible things going on. But if you can look at it from maybe another angle, it's a little more palpable. You can take it in a little easier. Instead of getting stressed out, why get stressed out? If you can't control it, if you can't change it, why not find the humor in it?
And I think, thank God for, you know, comedians, right, and talk show hosts and everything, because we need that in our society. It's like a pressure valve. It lets off steam, you know. Otherwise, we could go in nuts here. So I think it's good to laugh about things, yeah. And you're right, it gets us outside of ourselves, and that we don't feel so locked into it being, you know, oh my gosh, if I don't do this, I'm going to die. Well, maybe we don't have to take it quite so seriously.
Exactly.
And that's not to be in denial, right? There's a balance there.
Oh, yeah. Denial, that's a whole other thing. That's like shutting it out, pretending it's not happening. But humor, it's happening, you're looking at it, and you're just finding something to appreciate about it.
Right. Another theme that reoccurs is gratitude, right? And the simple act of saying thank you. Talk about that.
Yes, I believe very much in the manifestation process. I really enjoy, you know, the idea of the law of attraction, where we just really want to, when we want to draw something into our life, to really feel it strongly. And one way to do that is to show gratitude. Say thank you for what you have. Say thank you when somebody gives you something. This kind of triggers the universe to say, oh, he accepts it, he understands it, or, well, let's give him more and more of what he's looking for. So say thank you, you're triggering that concept to the universe. And I believe also saying you're welcome is also very important. Somebody you do something nice, somebody says thank you, they're doing this for themselves. They're trying to draw in more for themselves. So if you say you're welcome, that lets them know that their gratitude has been received. So
right.
Now their gratitude process is that much stronger for it. So, yes, gratitude, I believe that's very important.
I was in Australia recently and enjoyed the friendliness of, you know, most Australians. They're very hospitable people, go out of their way to help. And when I came back to Texas, which is also well known as being a place of friendly people, I thought, well, is this true? You know, are they as friendly as Australians? Because right now there's all this idea that we are a divided nation and there's a lot of fear and negativity out there. But so I was just noticing, I was being open and receptive to people. And I noticed that as I am open and receptive, I received the same thing back. You know, that all my interactions for the last several weeks since I've been back from Australia have been amazing. People have gone out of their way to help me find somewhere if I'm visiting in hospital, or people in the restaurants have been very friendly, just people in general, and people at the church. And it feels good, you know, because we both create our own reality. But also I think that people are inherently good. You know, people want to be generous and connect and make life happier for themselves and others. Do you agree with that?
Oh, absolutely, yes. It's very important. Very important to help each other out. We're all on this planet together. We got our own lives, but we also have our shared mission of bringing about evolution through understanding and sharing what we know and sharing knowledge, and just let's help each other on our journeys. Why not? We're all in this together.
I think the you know, media it could be a problem sometimes, can't it? Because, you know, it endlessly on these news cycles, you endlessly hear about all the things that are wrong with us and with our nation, with our world. And of course there is a lot of, you know, tragedy out there and horrific terror and everything, but even so, you know, those are sort of very minor compared to the way that the most of the 6 or 7 billion of us are living our lives. And so, you know, we have to put it into perspective here. But I think sometimes we can be infected, you know, our consciousness can be infected by the fear and by the sense of separation or division that we perceive. And if you're not careful, you know, you can be disempowered by that, right? We want to be empowered to live effective lives, and buying too much into the what the media says can be unhelpful, let's put it like that.
Oh, yes. Yeah, so
Do you have a way to deal with that yourself?
Well, what can you do? I mean, other than just live in a hole in the ground and not pay attention to any of it, you really do have to face it. I mean, it's coming at you. You just got to remind yourself that we're all on our journey in life, and their journey is to propagate this fear. And whether we like that or not, that's what they're going to do. You just got to realize there's a different side to everything, and you just got to do your best to not be affected by it. Do some meditation. Get that out of your head as much as you can. And, yeah, just do your best to help each other. Somebody needs help, give them help. Somebody asks for advice, give them the best advice that you can. Just try to be the calm that influences the storm when you can. Instead of letting it get to you, just be a beacon of calm. Be a beacon of the idea that everything doesn't have to be so bad.
Right.
Good things. Propagate good things.
Right, do you put a fast on news media yourself?
I'm sorry, what was that?
Do you put a limit to how much of the media you let into your home or into your mind?
Oh, yeah. Well, I don't actually watch TV. Where I live in Hawaii, we don't have a satellite dish, or I don't have anything to watch TV with. So I read headlines. So I do keep up with the world, but I don't really let it sink in too much.
Right. Yeah.
Mostly it's just headlines that I read. So right. I'm aware, but I'm not really letting it sink in. Because I need to focus on what my life is about, what I can do from my perspective, just how I can help the people around me, basically.
Right, yeah. So another theme that's in throughout the book is, of course, and we've talked about it earlier, is release and surrender. You mentioned going with the flow. Anything more to add about that? Some people have a really hard time with that word surrender. You know, we're Americans. We don't surrender. We're going to fight to the death. So this idea of surrender is counterintuitive, you know?
Yeah, it's one of those things. It's not the easiest thing to wrap your mind around. I admit that. Our egos tell us our life must be like this, or we must do this if we're going to be happy, but then you realize maybe not. Maybe we can do things a different way. I kind of equate that to the hanged man in Thoreau. He's just hanging there looking at the world from another angle. And I think that's what surrender is, just being able to see from another angle without our ego getting in the way of it. Because we can't always have what we want just the way we want it. But if we look around at what we have, we realize there's a lot we can do with what we have. Maybe it's perfect already. Maybe I'm thinking too much about this.
Mm-hmm. And, of course, for those not familiar with the Thoreau deck, the hangman's not hanging by his neck. He's hanging by his ankle, right? So he's literally turned upside down, so he gets to see the world from a whole different perspective, literally. Yeah.
That's right.
Have you ever done an experiment and looked at a map, like an atlas, you know, from upside down? We're so used to looking at our country, say, from, you know, north to south. It looks very, very different if you turn it around. And I did this with Great Britain because I grew up there. And, you know, I'm habituated to looking at Great Britain, looking in the way it does. And looking at it upside down gave me a whole different perspective of where things were in relation to other things. And a big peninsula sticking out here that I've not noticed, etc. I think it's a very good exercise, spiritual exercise, actually, and both in our perception, right, of what we expect to see, and in the fact, whoa, I could discover something new here about relationships, you know, in my own country that I didn't have before. And I think that's kind of fun to do sometimes. Of course, we don't use maps very much. We're on our digital phones all the time now. But, you know, you still may have a map around. It's good. Shift it around. Turn it upside down. See something different.
I like that idea. I'm going to do that.
Yeah. Because, you know, I think the mind again becomes habituated to a certain way of looking at things and it becomes lazy then. You know, you don't see anything new anymore because well, I know that, and I've experienced that shape. So we don't look anymore. And so it's good to look. So what else? What else in your books do you want to draw our attention to? We've got the power of humor and gratitude and release. What else?
Let's see here. I like the idea of sharing what we know. I think I talked about the silence as this spiritual fortress that we enter and we find our own wisdom. And I think it's important to let people know what you find. I mean, any way you want to do that. If you just want to talk to people, if you want to write books or just have a Twitter account, just get your ideas out there and people will read and absorb that, and then they will attach their own understanding to it. Instead of just taking what you say or what I say for granted and as perfect knowledge, they get a chance to just to grow with it, to expand on it, bring it bigger, make it more.
Right.
So I love this idea that there's this place we just sort of drift into. We might not even realize we're there, but while we're there, we're picking up all this wisdom, and we're leaving wisdom behind, too. Somebody else will come along and pick that up and say, oh, wow, this is fascinating. These are things I find very fascinating.
Yeah.
I just clear my mind and meditate, and I just all these things just start coming to me, and I want to encourage other people to experiment with that. See what they can find.
And well, we tend to think this is the realm of the special. You know, the composers, right. The artists, the poets, and everything. They're the ones that go into the silence and get all the mystics. They go into the silence and they get these wonderful inspirations. I think part of what we need to learn is that. We can all do this, right? We are all creative. We can all tap into the amazing possibilities of the universe and not to dumb ourselves down and say, oh, well, that's only for certain people who are, you know, have the ability.
Okay.
We all inherently have the ability.
Yeah, I couldn't agree with you more on that. That's the perfect way to put it. And we can find our own way in. If you're not really a meditator, I have found that I've just drifted in there just listening to music with headphones on, tuning out everything else and just focusing on the music. I find that just sort of takes me to this place.
Well, you mentioned that since we talked about Lonnie Donegan earlier, let's end the show on a light note talking about him.
Okay.
I know he wrote, if you're chewing gum on the bedpost overnight, you know, does it lose its flavor? That's one of his songs. And then My Old Man's a Dustman. I was about 10 or 12, I think, when Lonnie was big in Britain, and he was on the TV all the time at one point. But what is it about Lonnie that inspires you?
Well, at the time, this was 2003, 2004, I've always really enjoyed rockabilly music, just that wild and crazy sound. And this friend of mine at the time I was working with, when I was working as a government contractor, he gave me this mix CD that he made with all this crazy music, and I was listening to it, and Lonnie Donegan came on. I think he was singing Rock Island Line.
Uh-huh.
I like this guy. So I went to Tower Records, which was still open at the time, and bought his greatest hits and just really got hooked on him. And yeah, any music like that just really inspires me, really says, wow, I really appreciate what they're doing here.
Really,
then I get inspired by that. So back in the day, way back then, that's what was going on in my life.
And I think there's a certain exuberance too to Lonnie Donegan's music, you know, and people like that. It's inspirational because you could feel their energy and their joy, you know, in the music, that's part of it, isn't it?
That's true. You feel their passion. This isn't just computers. This is back when talent was really important. You couldn't just fix everything with a computer back then.
Right. Of course, course, that's not to say there aren't wonderful musicians today. There are, but yeah, you're right. You know, there was the very little technology back then.
Yeah, you couldn't hide. There's no hiding back then. If you weren't that great, they couldn't just fix it.
Right. So we have 1 minute left. If you wanted to impart some profound wisdom to the world, Jim, what would it be?
I would say do what you can to inspire others. Follow your bliss. Your bliss is very important. Your bliss is telling you what's important to you. It's the map of your journey. If you feel good about what you're doing, you're going to love doing it. It's going to be meaningful to the world. People are going to pick up on that. They're going to respond. So just keep doing your thing, whatever that is.
Yeah. Right. All right. Stay inspired, and by so doing, you will inspire others. All right. We're at the end of the show. Let me tell you about next week, and then we'll say goodbye to Jim. Next week, I'm joined by the authors of The Little Book of Surprises. That's Deirdre Hale and Will Arntz, and they're going to talk about their transformational book of wisdom, which also includes a number of visionary photographs. So next week, The Little Book of Surprises. But this week, it's been a joy to have Jim Larson on the show. Hope you're inspired by him and get a hold of some of his books. If they want to find out more about you, Jim, do you have a website that people can go to?
That would be FoolsPathTarot.com.
All right, FoolsPathTarot.com. Jim, thank you so much for being on World Spirituality.
Thank you very much, Paul. I really enjoyed this.
All right, thanks, folks, for listening. Talk to you next week. All right, bye-bye.
Bye.
Thank you for tuning in to World Spirituality with Reverend Paul John Roach. Join us every Tuesday at 1 p.m. Central to further examine the spiritual teachings and religious traditions of our world and to discover the universal truth principles present in all. World Spirituality, only on UnityOnlineRadio.org, the voice of an awakening world. This program is brought to you in part by Unity Church of Fort Worth in Fort Worth, Texas, celebrating the Christ Spirit in all people. Online at www.unityfortworth.org. Are you ready to live in joy? Is there an area of your life where you could use a miracle? Have you been praying for help and guidance? Come join Lisa and Bill and their guests for an hour filled with practical tips on experiencing miracles, greater abundance, focused, deliberate living, and the peace of God that passeth all understanding. Experience more joy in life. Listen to Living in Joy, Reflections on A Course in Miracles with Lisa Natoli and Bill Free every Friday at 2 p.m. Central here on Unity Online Radio, the voice of an awakening world.
Haven't we all stood on the bank of a quiet pond and tossed a stone into the water? Haven't we seen the ripples move outward from the place where the stone entered the water until the whole surface of the pond danced with the movement of energy? Before long, we could no longer clearly see the point where the stone entered the water. My inner environment of thoughts and feelings behaves much like a pond. When I introduce a thought of peace into my mind and heart, that single thought creates a ripple effect that really does change the world. From its beginning point within me, peace ripples out to fill my inner world and continues to move out into the world around me. Peace can begin with me.
To find a Unity Church near you, please visit our website, at www.unity.org.
Are you ready to experience the rich interconnection of spirituality, orientation, and identity? If so, plan to attend Liberating Your Divine Identity, a retreat at Unity Village during Pride Month, June 9th to the 12th. This soul-filled retreat is facilitated by LGBTQIA+ Unity Ministers, with workshops and ceremonies to cultivate a deeper awareness of our spiritual nature. Register at unityvillage.org/IamDivine2022.